Today's daf is Shabbos Daf Chaf, and we are at the Mishnah, 7 lines from the bottom of Daf Yud Tes Amid Beis. Today's daf is being learned as a Schus Refuah Shalema for Shlomo Ben Sarah Aliza, and as a Schus Refuah Shalema for Ben Zion Chaim Ben Shena Necha. So we're continuing here with the last daf of Perek Yetzias HaShabbos, discussing the machloikis between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, specifically with regards to things that one is allowed to do on Erev Shabbos. We saw the Mishnah on Daf Yud Zayin Amud Beis that went into Daf Yud Ches Amud Aleph mentioned a very fundamental machloikis between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. According to Beis Shammai, Shvisas Kelim is Aser. According to Beis Hillel, Shvisas Kelim is Mutter. Meaning, according to Beis Shammai, just like one is not allowed to do Malacha on Shabbos, his animals are not allowed to do Malacha on Shabbos. In certain instances, his slaves are not allowed to do Malacha on Shabbos. His Kelim have to be Shoyves as well. They too cannot do Malacha on Shabbos. Beis Hillel argued. Beis Hillel said that Shvisas Kelim is Mutter. On that note, says the Mishnah, Ein Tzoylin, Basar, Batzol, Ubeitzo. One is not allowed to cook meat, onions and eggs, Erev Shabbos, lest there's going to be enough time for them to be completely roasted or completely cooked before Shabbos. Now, at first glance, you would think that this halach is going according to Beis Shammai that holds that Shvisas Kelim is awesome. According to Beis Shammai, you're not allowed to do malacha, your pots can't be doing malacha either. So for that standpoint, it would make sense that you can't start cooking or roasting or frying or grilling Erev Shabbos in the event that it's going to continue into Shabbos. But we saw already the Gemara earlier that said that in fact, this halach is true according to Beis Hillel as well. Because even though Beis Hillel doesn't hold of Shvisas Kelim, but there were certain instances where the Chachamim got involved, and the Chachamim said that you can't start doing a malacha on Shabbos if the malacha is going to continue into Shabbos. And one of those was, one is not allowed to start cooking on Shabbos in all instances if the cooking is going to continue on Shabbos. And again, not because biblically there's a problem, Beis Hillel doesn't hold of Shvisas Kelim. It's rather related to a Gezeres Chachamim, Shema Yach. The Chacham were concerned that somebody may stoke the coals underneath what's cooking simply because he wants to expedite the bishul process, and it's for that reason the Chachamim said it's not going to be okay. The nafkamina, of course, is if the iser is because of Shvisas Kelim, it's a deraisa iser, so there's no exceptions to the rule. If it's only also because of the gzeirah shema yachdu gecholim, then there would be circumstances where it would be okay. The Gemara said certain meats maybe it would be okay with. If the oven was sealed, maybe then it would be okay. Regardless, the halach of the Mishnah, of course, is more moving according to Beis Shammai, but as we saw earlier, it's true according to Beis Hillel as well. It continues the Mishnah, Ein noisem pas latan rim chashechi. You're not allowed to put bread into an oven before Shabbos. V'loi charor al gabi gecholim. You're not allowed to put a cake on top of coals before Shabbos. Ela kadei sheyikru panam b'yoyim. Unless it's going to have enough time that the bread and the cake are going to crust before Shabbos. Meaning, it's going to have a sheer chashuv of baking done before Shabbos. Otherwise, it's a problem. Rabbi Lezer says, Kedei sheyikrim hatachtin shalom. Which part of the bread of the charora needs to crust? It's the tachtin. The Gemara is going to explain what exactly that means. A similar halacha. Mishal shlen esa pesach betanur im chashecha. So the carbon pesach was brought on Yudal and Nisan. It was brought on Erev Pesach. It was eaten on Pesach. The question is, the carbon Pesach had to be eaten roasted. What happens if Erev Pesach fell out on Erev Shabbos, which means that the carbon Pesach is going to be eaten on Friday night? You're allowed to cook on Yontif, you're not allowed to cook on Shabbos. Are you allowed to put the carbon Pesach that's still raw into the oven where you're roasting the carbon Pesach Erev Pesach or Erev Shabbos Samach L'Chashecha? Related to these halachas that we're learning. So the Mishnah says it's okay, that over there it's fine, and it's not going to be an issue. The Gemara is going to explain. Another halacha was the Beis HaMoiked, that was one of the chambers in the Beis HaMikdash. Specifically, there was a big fire there, and that's where the Kayhanim, when they had to warm themselves up, would go. Says the Mishnah that you were allowed to light the fire in the Beis HaMoiked right before Shabbos. You didn't have to wait a certain time before Shabbos. You didn't have to give the fire enough time to really establish itself. But right before Shabbos, that was okay. However, if you're going to light a fire outside of the Beis HaMoiked, You wouldn't be able to do it unless you're going to have enough time for the fire to really catch on. How much does it have to catch on? Rubai. What does that mean? We'll see that in the Gemara as well. Rabbi Yehuda says that if the fire that you're making begvulin was made using charcoal, then you don't need kadesha techeza ur berubai. Meaning, as long as you light the fire before Shabbos, even if it didn't have a chance to really catch on too much, certainly not berubai. Even in that event, it would be okay. So the Gemara is going to go line by line and explain the Mishnah. So the first halacha in the Mishnah was ein tzoylin basar batzal ubeitza ela kadesha yotzulim. I mean, now let us start cooking right before Shabbos. You have to have enough time for it to, quote unquote, be yotsulu. It has to roast. It has to fry. It has to cook. Something chashuv has to happen before Shabbos. And as we mentioned, this is true for sure according to Beis Shammai. It's true according to Beis Hillel as well. Says the Gemara v'kama. How much of it has to roast before Shabbos? Amar Rabbi Lazar, Amar Rav, kidei sheyotsulu mebayyam, kamaycho ben trusai. It has to cook enough that even Ben Drusai would eat it. So who is Ben Drusai? Rashi says Listim Haya. He was a Listim, a robber, Umavashul Bishulei Shlish. And being that he was always on the run, he was always looking both ways, so he had to eat his food really, really quickly. So he couldn't sit down and have a proper picnic, but rather, what he would do is he would cook his food, and as soon as it cooked the Shlish, he would eat it. And that became Chazal's definition. I don't know what Ben Drusai was Zoicha, that he somehow becomes synonymous with the Shir Bishul in all different halachas of, but as regardless, if it cooked enough that Ben Drusai would eat the food, that's considered chashuv. If that happens, it's okay. Amar Rabbi Amar Rav. Another place where you find this halacha is that one is not allowed to eat food that was cooked by a non-Jew. It's what's known as bishalakum. What happens if the food was cooked already and then it didn't cook 100% and the non-Jew wants to finish the cooking process? Would that render the food now unacceptable to eat because of bishul akum? So the halach is that once it cooks kamaycho ben drusai, then if a non-Jew would cook it, it wouldn't be awesome bishul akum. Because again, once it cooks kamaycho ben drusai, that's a shir bishul. A third place where you find the shir of maycho ben drusai, Tanya, Chananya says kol shuku maycho ben drusai. If you have food that's cooked kamaycho ben drusai, mutal hashas al gavikir, you're allowed to leave it on an oven on Shabbos. So we mentioned briefly, and we're going to see a lot more about this in Perakira. It's aser for a person to leave even cooked food sometimes on top of an exposed oven on Shabbos, and it's because gzeira shemayakta gecholim. We're afraid that you may go and you may stoke the coals to expedite the cooking process. Now, when can you, in the event that you cover the coals, a quote-unquote blech, or if you remove the coals, then in those eight instances, it would be okay. Said Chananya that if the food before Shabbos was already cooked kemaychol ben drusai, then it's mutter to keep food on top of a kira on Shabbos, and afal pisha ena grufa, even if you didn't shovel the coals, and it's ena ktuma, you didn't cover the coals, you don't have a blech, it doesn't matter, still it's going to be okay. So again, Chananya's halacha, which we'll see a lot more of, emphasis on a lot, in the beginning of Perakira, but the point is at the end of the day, he said that if it cooked enough before Shabbos, there's no Isser Shehiyah on Shabbos. And what's the definition of cooked? The definition is Kamaychol Ben Drusai. So we see three places where you find this shear of Kamaychol Ben Drusai. Two with regards to the Hilcha Shabbos, one with regards to the Halachas of Bishalakim. What does it have to do with our Mishnah? Ain't soil and basa batzel of beitza unless it cooked already mi ba'od yoyim. What's the definition of cooked mi ba'od yoyim? A shlish, that's the shear bishal of the listim who was Ben Derusai. The Mishnah continued and said, "Ein noisen es apasi." You're not allowed to put bread inside an oven before Shabbos im chashecho. V'loy charor agabi gecholim el kitei sheikru panem b'bayim. Again, unless it's going to bake a shear b'bayim. Now, what's the shear? Here, the Mishnah said what it is. It's yikrumu paneha. If the bread starts crusting before Shabbos, then it's okay. If it doesn't, then it's not okay. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Rabbi Loza said, "What does it mean? Kitei sheikrumu." That it has to be dafka, the lower part, the tachtoin shabbat, has to be the part that crusted, not some other part. Says the Gemara, Ibailu, tachtoin, heich de gabi tanner. What does tachtoin mean? Is the tachtoin the part that's attached to the tanner? Now, you have to remember the metzias of how baking was done once upon a time was you didn't just put the food in the oven, but rather you would attach it literally to the walls of the oven. That's why removing food from an oven on Shabbos involves a malach. It's what's known as rediyas hapas. It's not an isidai raisa, it's a chachma, it's an isidai rabbana. But the point is, it was a little more than just merely removing something from the oven, because the food, the bread, was actually attached to the walls of the oven. So the Gemara's question is, when we say tachtoin, do we mean the part that's attached to the wall of the oven? And why would that be called tachtoin? Because when you take the bread out and you serve it, that's going to be the bottom side, and the part that's not touching the wall is going to be the top side. Or do we mean the tachtoin hechtegabiyur, the one that's facing the fire? It's not attached to the wall, but rather, it's the part that the fire is exposed to. It's the one facing downwards to the bottom of the oven towards the fire. Says the Gemara, Tashma, Reb Elazar, Oy Mekdesh, Yikru Paneah, Hamidu Bakim B'Tanur. So even though in the Mishnah it's not clear, but in the Brayse it's Mefurish, Reb Elazar said it's Sheyikru Paneah, Hamidu Bakim B'Tanur. It's the part that's attached to the wall. That's called the tachtoin. Again, why is it called the tachtoin? Because when you serve it, that's going to be the lower part. Mishal Shanasa Pesach, my time is the carbon Pesach, we said there's no problem. Meaning, even though we just say you're not allowed to roast food, Erev Shabbat, unless it's already roasting Kemaychol ben Drusoy before Shabbos, but when it comes to the Karban Pesach, if Pesach fell out on a Friday night, you have nothing to worry about. You could stick the animal into the oven right before Shabbos, and there's no issue. Says the Gemara, you want to know why? Mishum de Bnei Chabur is the reason. Hey, because what's the whole Isser? We're going according to Beis Hillel that holds it's Gzeirah Shema Yachta Gecholim. Gzeirah Shema Yachta Gecholim, you have to worry about an individual. If a person's by himself doing his own thing, did his Gzeirah Shema Yachta Gecholim. However, the Karban Pesach was Nechel B'Chabura. The ideal way to eat a Karban Pesach was to have a lot of people eat it together, and you almost had to do it that way. Because otherwise, there'd be some leftovers. Who could eat a whole animal? And if there's going to be leftovers, it's going to be noiser. You're getting involved in Isurei Dairaisa. So being that there was a Chabura has risen. You never have to worry. And this is based on the Sfarah that we spoke about regarding Kriyas HaTorah. Two people are allowed to learn together, Lo Yiraner. One person, you're always concerned. You never know what he's going to do. But if you have a Chabura of people together, Mitgeri Adadi, if one person's going to want to do something wrong, somebody else will remind him. And if that person doesn't chap, the third person will remind him. Whenever you have a multitude of people, you don't have to be concerned about gzeiras, and that's why an individual cooking, yeah, in his kitchen before Shabbos, you have to worry. But if you have a chabur of people together, no one's going to be yachta gecholim. Says the Gemara, hola vachi lo, you're telling me the only reason the Karban Pesach is different is because there were a lot of people. Vamamar, why don't you say a better teretz? Gadya bein sharik bein loy sharik shapredami. We saw that sometimes there's certain meats that you don't have to worry. Shem yachta gecholim. One of the example was a gedi. A young animal, being that it's very tender, the meat. So the Gemara said there were two lashonos and had to learn, but for sure there was a thought that was in that sugya that said that a younger animal, you never concern shem yachta gecholim, because to stoke the coals, you'd have to open the oven, you would expose it to wind, and you're not going to do that. It's going to harm the meat. So the Gemara says, hasa mintach, hacha loy mintach. When is there a svara that the wind is not good for the meat? That's if the meat was cut up. Here, however, the meat was clearly not cut up. It has to be a whole animal. That's the way they used to roast the Karban Pesach. So over here, even if it got exposed to wind, it wouldn't be harmful. As a result, there is a gezeirah shem yachta gecholim. Thus, the only reason Karban Pesach is different is mishum de bnei chaburah's reason. Him umachizen esor. So he said that when it came to lighting the big fire that was in the Beis HaMikdash, in the Beis HaMikdash, so they used to light it right before Shabbos. Meaning, even though there's halacha, usually a fire has to catch on in a chashuv way before Shabbos in order for you to be able to light it before Shabbos and for it continue to go on Shabbos. But the Beis HaMikdash was different. We're learning from a pasuk. You're not allowed to light a fire. This is the one loist, I say, of the Lamed Hes Malachas that's Mefurish in the Torah. Havara. So Havara, it says, B'chom Moish Veseichem. It's only there that there's a problem of Havara. Aval Atom Haber, Medur, it's Beis HaMikid. But the Beis HaMikid was not B'chom Moish Veseichem, it was in the Beis HaMikdash. In the Beis HaMikdash, you don't have to worry about this Halacha. Maskev for Rav Chizda. So Rav Chizda said, if this is the Makar, that Loisavaru is only B'chom Moish Veseichem, Afilu B'Shabbos Nami, they should be able to do it on Shabbos. Why are you telling me you're allowed to do it a minute before Shabbos, even on Shabbos? If it's because the Torah clearly excluded the Beis HaMikdash from the Lav of Avara, so then why is it only that if you start it before Shabbos, you should be able to start on Shabbos? Elamar Rav Chizda, Kroki Yasser, Lemitri Avara, Mptar Mptas. You have to say the diuk's a good diuk. Loisavarish b'chom moish v'yseichem, avalat mavir, napim moish v'yseichem, but that's referring to the halach of Akhtara. They used to burn the fads and the Avara Mptarim of the oila that they used to do even on Shabbos, and it's based on that pasuk. But that has nothing to do with Beis HaMikdash. Beis HaMikdash is not Akhtara. So Beis HaMikdash is not Akhtara. What's the makar that you're allowed to light the fire of the Beis HaMikdash right before Shabbos? It's because Kohanim's reason. It's a similar svara to what we said earlier. It's The only reason not to do it is Gzeira Shemayachti Gecholim. By the Kehanim, you don't have to worry Shemayachti Gecholim because the Kehanim has reason. Number one, the Kehanim. Number two, there's many of them. So again, it's weird. There's a Gzeira, that's where it's a problem. There's no Gzeira, there's no problem. We said, if you want to make a fire, a big Vulin, meaning outside of the Beis HaMikdash, so there the fire has to catch on before Shabbos. How much does it have to catch on? So the Mishnah said, Kedesha Techos Ha'ur Beruboy. Roiv. Says the Gemara, what does that mean? My Ruban. My Rab said, Roiv Kalecha Ve'echad. Roiv of every piece of firewood has to catch on to a little bit of fire. But if it's not Roiv of Kalecha Ve'echad, so then it's not enough of a fire for you to be able to allow it to continue to go on Shabbos. Shmuel Amar, Kidei Shelo Yoimru, Havei Eitzim V'Naneich Tachtev. No, it doesn't mean so literal, Shmuel said. Shmuel just said that the fire's knocking, meaning you're not going to have to add wood. If you would have to add wood, then it wouldn't be chashev enough, then it would be a problem. But you don't need literally every single piece of firewood, roiv of it is already, or already caught on. So the Gemara, Tanna, Reb Chila, Siyudu, Reb Shmuel, Reb Chia had a raya to Shmuel, Kedei Shetesh HaLev HaZoy V'Meilel, V'Loi Shetesh HaLev HaZoy V'Yidei Davaracha, that you see this idea that it needs to be strong enough that the Shalevis can go by its own, you're not going to need anything to support the Shalevis. It's Yechidi. Now what happens if you only have one piece of wood? So till now we're talking about a regular fire with this, I'll think of a campfire. There's a lot of logs, there's a lot of firewood. What if the whole fire is really based on one piece of wood? So what's the shear then? Rav Amar Rav says, Roiv Oivyoi, it has to penetrate the majority of the thickness of that one piece of wood. The Amrila, some had a different version of what Rav said, Roiv HaKeifei, the majority of the circumference. It's not Roiv of Eichos, it's Roiv of Kamus. Amar Rav Papa said, Hilkach bina Roiv Oivyoi, bina Roiv HaKeifei, being that there's two versions of what Rav said, so we don't know which is the real one. So you have no choice. The only time it's going to be okay is if you have both Roiv Oivyoi and you have Roiv HaKeifei. So the Gemara says that Kitanoi, really these two Girsus in what Rav said, did he mean Roiv Oivyo, or did he mean Roiv Ekefoy? Is Machloikis Tanam Rav Chiya. Rav Chiya says Kadesh Yishachi says Ezmon Lachas Uman, that if it's one piece of wood, how much fire, how much does it have to catch on to before Shabbos? It has to be enough that an Uman, a professional, wouldn't be able to use it. Rav Yudim Maseiroi, Mikdesh Toychas Ezm, Mishdate Stalim. The point is that you need both sides of the wood already caught onto fire. The pasuk says as shnei kitzos of achla ha'esh, the fire consumed both sides of the wood. The toichay nachar, the inside of it is ruined. Hayitzlach l'malacha, will you be able to use it? But the bottom line is you have two shitas over here. Reb Chiya said kidei sheyishachis ha'esh b'melachas ha'uman. Reb Yehuda said kidei sheyitoichas ha'esh mishteit stadim. The Gemara says Reb Chiya shita kidei sheyishachis ha'esh b'melachas ha'uman. That's Reb Avyoi. Then most, the thickness of it was already, it's Rabbi Yehuda ben Maseiro who added, no, you need Kedei Shetoichas Ha'esh Mishteit Stadov, you have to get the Roif HaKeifa, you have to get the circumference of it as well. The Pasuk says, Ves Ha'och Lefonov Mivayere. So this is all Me'inyan Le'inyan, Ba'isa Inyan. Now this Pasuk is a Pasuk in Yirmiyo, Perek Lamed Vav. The Pasuk over there says, V'Hamelech Yoyshe Beis HaChorif, B'Chodesh Hatshi, Ves Ha'och Lefonov Mivayeres. The context is Yirmiyo HaNavi sent a Megillah. He sent a book that he wanted the king, Yehoyakim, to read. The book was none other than Megillas Eicha. People forget sometimes that Yirmiyo wrote Eicha before Churban Beis HaMikdash. He wrote it as a nevuah. It was a prophecy of what would happen in the event that the Yidden didn't do tshuva. So he sends it to the melech of Yehuda, and he looks at it, and he says, this is rubbish, and he throws it into a fire. That's the context. Ves ha'och lefanam mivoyeres, says the Gemara, my och. What does och mean? Amar Rav, Rav said, achvona. Rashi says, arova, of dalad minim fein. The Shmuel Amar, Shmuel said, etzim shenik, Nidlku ba'achvana. This is a fire that came ba'ava ba'achva v'sholim v'reyos. Ba'achvana. With its brothers. Meaning it's a fire that had a lot of wood. Thus, all the pieces of firewood are brothers. So either the fire came from arava, was made using willow, was made using aravos, or it was just a lot of pieces of wood. Says the Gemara, Huda amaluhu man ba yachvana. There was once a person who was walking around. He said, who wants to buy achvana? And the chever didn't really know what achvana is. The Gemara says, ashtakech arvos. And then they came a little bit closer to see what it was that he was selling. And they saw that what he was selling was arvos, so he was selling aravos. Amar afuna, konim ein tzrichim roiv. If somebody has a bunch of loose reeds and he wants to light them on fire before Shabbat, Shabbos, the halacha of roiv doesn't apply. Meaning the Mishnah said that begvulin, if you're going to light a fire begvulin, it's kedesha techeza ar berubai, that if the majority of it, that's how much you would need in order for you to be able to light this before Shabbos. If you have individual reeds, however, then you don't have this halacha. Agadon, if you have bundles of reeds, however, tzrichon roiv, then you don't have the halacha roiv. Garinim, if you have pits, just loose pits, that you can light on fire, ain't tzrichin roiv. There's no halacha that roiv of the pit has to take fire. Nasan b'chaisolais, if however you put them in baskets made of reeds, Rashi says, kelim sha'isa milulavin, tzrichin roiv, then you do have the halacha of roiv. Maskel Rav Chizos, again, if they're individuals, you don't have the halacha of roiv. If they're together, then you have the halacha of roiv. So Rav Chizos disagreed with that whole premise. He said, adarava, to me, it seems just the opposite. Ibcha mistabra, konin mevadron, agodolei mevadron. If they're individualized, they're scattered, then it makes sense that you should need roiv, because what's one little reed on fire, one pit on fire, what's that going to do? It's garinim, when it's together, however, then it makes sense that you shouldn't need roiv, because then it's a much stronger fire. Garinim, the same is true with the pits. Mivadron, nasim b'chaisol is lay mivadron. If it's separate, then it's spread out. How's that going to turn into a real fire? So, said Rav Chizda, I think it's just the opposite. I think you don't need roiv when it's together, not when it's individualized. Itwan Nami, the Gemara says, Om Rav Kahana. Rav Kahana said, like Rav Chizda, konim sha'ogdon tzrichim roiv, loy ogdon ain't tzrichim roiv. Garinim tzrichim roiv, nasim b'chaisol is, if they're together, ain't tzrichim roiv. When they're individual, that's when you need the roiv. When it's not, then you don't need the roiv. Says the Gemara, Tani Rav Yosef, arba medurois ein tzrichin roiv. There's four types of fires that don't need roiv. Meaning you don't need roiv of the fire before Shabbos in order for you to be allowed to keep this fire going on Shabbos. As long as you start the fire before Shabbos, that would be enough. What are these four fires? Shall zephes, if the fire was made of pitch. Vishal gofres, sulfur. Vishal gvina, if the fire was made of cheese. So what does that mean? So if you take a look at the Vilna Gaon, the Hagoyis Hagra Ois Gimel says, Girsas Harif Kira, not Gvina, Kira. So that's a very obvious mistake. It was made of wax, Vishal Revav, it's made of grease. But Masnis Tatana, Afshal Kash Vishal Gvava. The same is true if the fire was made of kash, straw, Gvava is stubble. The same halacha that you don't need roiv before Shabbos. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Eitzim Shal Bavel, Ein Tzrichin Roiv. The wood that they used to use in Bavel, they didn't need roiv. So Rabbi Yochanan lived in Eretz Yisrael, and he was paskening a halacha for the Bnei Bavel. He said, the Eitzim of Bavel, that doesn't have this halacha roiv. So the Gemara says, Maskev for Rav Yosef. Maihi, what exactly did Rav Yochanan mean? He said, Eitzim Shal Bavel? We have to be a little bit more specific. Ilei Masilti, was he referring to Silti? He said, these were thin strips of wood that people used to throw into fire. So usually when you think of wood that's used for fire, you think of logs. But sometimes they would add little thin strips of wood. They did it specifically in Bavel. That wood was called Silti. And Rav Yosef assumed that's probably where Rav Yochanan was referring to. But he didn't understand. He said, Hashta Psila, Madacha, a wick, Omar Ula, Hamadak Tork Shiadak Bereva Yoitze. Even there, there's an Allah of Roiv, Sultan Mibay, and for sure there should be a Roiv by wood. He just thought, based on the Metzius, there's no way Psilas have a din Roiv, whereas Silti doesn't. Meaning, the assumption of why this wood shouldn't need roiv is because once you light it, it's going to take off the fire. You have nothing to worry about. There's no concern, Shema Yachdik Cholim. He said, by a psila, by a wick, there's no concern of Shema Yachdik Cholim, but there's a halacha that you need roiv before Shabbos, because this is the Takanas Chachamim. So why should this be any different? Elam Rabbi Yosef. So Rabbi Yosef said that probably what Rabbi Yochanan was referring to was Soicha Da'arza. He must have been referring to the branch of a cedar tree, which was common in Bavel, they used to use it in fires. Rami Bar Abba, Amar Rami Bar Abba said that maybe it was referring to was Zaza. And on that note, Hadron Allah, Yetzias HaShabbos. So we're going to get back to this last sugya, Perek Yetzias HaShabbos, but for now, let's just finish the daf, and let's make a haschola on one of the most famous, classic, epic Prokim and Shas, Perek Bamem Adlikin. So the backdrop for Perek Bamem Adlikin, which of course we're going to talk more about in the coming Dafin, but for now, the backdrop is the most basic mitzvah that every single person is familiar with, and that is Erev Shabbos, literally Im Chashecha Miboid Yoim, but right before Shabbos, you're supposed to light candles in your house. The minhag is that women light candles, but there's a mitzvah to light candles Erev Shabbos, Samach L'Chashecha. So on that note, says the Mishnah, Bameh Madlikin, Ubameh Ein Madlikin, what type of wicks is one allowed to use to light candles with on Shabbos? And what type of oils is one allowed to use to light candles with on Shabbos. And we're going to see the Mishnah is going to give a whole bunch of things that one is not allowed to use. And really, the reason you're not allowed to use them, we'll see more in tomorrow's daf, but atzad ha-shava shabahen is that the only time you're allowed to use wick and oil is if the combination of wick and oil is going to be such that the shalheves will be oil yafa. You're going to have a nice fire. If you're going to have a nice fire, then it's kosher to use. If the fire is not going to be so nice, then you're not allowed to use it. And the reason is, Rashi explains in the sugya, although there's other opinions in the Rishonim, but Pashup Shad is, it's Gzeira Shemayata. And we saw two of the Yud Ches Dvarim in Koirin Loiraner, in Foilin Kelov Loiraner, was related to a Gzeira Shemayata. We were concerned that you may chepa with the fire on Shabbos, and that can bring to a malacha d'iraisa of havara. Leisavaru eich b'chol moish v'seichem b'yoyin ha-Shabbos. So it's because of that, that the Chachamim said, you have to make sure that the shalheves is a good shalheves. It says the Mishnah. B'meh madlikin u'bameh ein madlikin. And the beginning of Perek b'meh madlikin is very technical, and then it digresses into laws of Chanukah, and it gets very exciting and very lumdish and even super lumdish, and there's hashtag rest to the story, but it starts off super duper technical. Says the Mishnah, what are you allowed to use and what are you not allowed to use? Ein madlikin lebe lechesh. So you're not allowed to use as a wick lechesh. V'loy b'chaysin v'loy b'chalak. We'll see what these things mean in the Gemara. V'loy b'psilas ha'idon, v'loy b'psilas ha'midbar, v'loy b'yiroiko shal pnei ha'mayim. Additionally, there's certain oils you're not allowed to use. So what oils can't you use? V'loy b'zefes, you can't use pitch as your source of fuel. V'loy b'shaiva, you can't use wax. V'loy b'shemen kik, we'll see what that means. V'loy b'shemen tsreifa, that's shemen that has a din tsreifa that you're mechuyev to burn. V'loy b'alyo, you're not allowed to use the fat that comes from a sheep's tail. V'loy b'chelev, you can't use chelev at all. Nochem hamadi yoimer, nochem hamadi of Perek b'meh Madlikin fame said, Madlikin b'chelev avoshol. It's not true. There are chalavim that you are allowed to use. What chalav can you use? Chalav mevushal. The chachamim say, you're not allowed to use chalav mevushal. You're not allowed to use chalav she'en mevushal either, says the Gemara. So we mentioned a whole bunch of things you're not allowed to use. The first list was certain things that can't be used as wicks. Okay. Ein madlikin loy belechesh, the Mishnah said. So what's lechesh? Shoicha de arza. It's the bark of a cedar tree. For the Gemara, shoicha de arza. It's ba'almohu. That's a regular piece of wood, and we know you're not allowed to use a regular piece of wood as a wick, so shouldn't it be obvious? So the Gemara says, but I'm ronisa de ispe. No, it's talking about this woolly substance that's inside the bark of the tree, of the cedar tree, that you would have had a havamino, ben benoy shall havamino. Maybe it can be used as a wick, you can make wicks from it. That's the chiddush of the Mishnah that you can. What's that? I'm Rabbi Yosef, na'iris al pishton. It's referring to the na'iris of pishton. So the na'iris is the part of the flax that was removed in the flax process. A linen was made from flax, and when they used to make linen, there was certain soilus of flax that they would remove. That's the neiris. Only Abaya. So Abaya said it can't be because there's a pasuk that says v'hoya hechasoin l'neiris. Sounds like it's two separate things. Michlal b'chaisin lav neirisu. How could you tell me chaisin is the neiris of the pishton? In the pasuk, it sounds like this chasoin and then there's neiris and that they're two separate things. Alam Abaya kissin daik v'loin nafis. What it means is it's talking about flax while it's in the process of being produced. So it was beaten up a little bit. So if it's in this in between stage, that's when it's referred to as Na'irish al Pishna. The Mishnah said. So the Mishnah said you can't use Lachash, you can't use Chaisin. We sort of know what those things are now. And you can't use Kalach. What is that? Shmuel said, Shaltinu l'chon l'chayseyam. I asked all the travelers, people that used to go overseas, are they familiar with this term kalach? I mean, they all told me, kulcha shemei. Yes, and it's something known as kulcha. Okay. Reb Yitzchak bar Zeira, Amar Reb Yitzchak bar Zeira said it's gushkara, which is a certain type of silk. On that note, Rav Vavaya, Yasu Kamid Rabban Nechemya, Chud Reish Kalus, Rav Vavaya was once sitting in front of Rav Nechemya, who was the brother of the Reish Kalus, Chazid Avalovish Metaksa. And they saw that he was wearing a beggar made of silk. The Reish Kaluso were wealthy, powerful people. So Reb Nechemya, who was the Reish Kaluso's brother, it makes sense that he was dressed very well. I'm really Ravan Abaya. So Ravan told Abaya, "Hainu kolach the time. You see that beged the Reb Nechemya, the brother of the Reish Kaluso, is wearing? That's the kolach of the Mishnah." Amalei told him, "Anan shira peranda karino." It's interesting because we call that not regular. We call it shira peranda. Says the Gemara, "Meisvi hashirayim the hakolach v'asirikin chayim v'tzitzis." All these things are chayim v'tzitzis. Now shirayim is silk. And kolach is what we just mentioned in the Mishnah. The Gemara assumes that Rav Nechemya, who was Reish Kalusa's brother, this silk beggar that he was wearing was good old-fashioned silk. So if he was wearing regular silk, and Ravin told Abaya, it's Kalach, that means Kalach is not your regular, typical silk. If that's the case, how does the Mishnah say, Hashirayim veHakalach? Shirayim and Kalach, suggesting that they're two separate things. L'chur, it's the same thing. So the Gemara says, Tiofta de Ravin, Tiofta. So you could answer, Shira l'chud v'shira peranda l'chud. He never said it's the same thing. Maybe Rav Nechemya was wearing silk, and it was what Abaya had referred to as Shira peranda, but it wasn't the typical silk. It was still a little different than your typical silk. It's what kolach in the Mishnah is. When the Mishnah says, Hashiroyim v'hakolach v'asirikin chayavim etzitzis, it's not a stira to the fact that Rav Nechemya was wearing kolach, because kolach and shiroyim, even though they're both silk, and maybe they're both choshev silk, but they're not the same silk. V'loy b'psila so'idon. So what is psila so'idon? Achvina. This is referring to achvina. So achvina is what we had on Amud Aleph. Ha'och, which is this woolly substance that comes from Aravos. Ravin v'Abaya, because of the facts of the Tamarisa. Ravin and Abaya were once traveling together in the valley of Tamarisa. Chazinu l'han Arvasa, and they saw these Aravos trees. Amalei Ravin Abaya, Hainu Eden the Tanah, this is the Eden. Amalei, so he told him, he eats Baalmohu. This is a regular, this is nothing. What do you mean? How could this be the Eden? If this is the Eden, that means the Eden's a regular tree. So I needed the Mishnah to tell me, Ein Madlikin, Bepsilos Eden. It's so obvious. So the Gemara says, Kolaf. So Ravin picked it up, and he peeled off some of the wood. And then he showed him the wool that was inside. He says, no, this is what the Mishnah was referring to. The Mishnah said, you're not allowed to use the psilois that come from the midbar. What is that? So the Gemara says, shavra. This is a certain type of grass, and that's what it's referring to. V'loy b'yeroika she'al p'nei ha'mayim. The Mishnah said, you're not allowed to use the yeroika that's al p'nei ha'mayim. What is that? Mayhi ilay me'uch mesod ha'charitzi. So the Gemara says, you're probably thinking that what it means is this dark greenish substance that develops on the bottom of a ship. But the Gemara says, if that's what it is, meaning ilay me'uch mesod ha'charitzi, ifruchim mefarchon, then l'chura, it's something that very easily crumbles. If it very easily crumbles, it anyways can't be used as wicks. So if it can't be used as wicks, it's not mistaber that that's what it is. Elam rapapa. So rapapa said, uch mesod ha'arva. No, it's this dark greenish substance that's on the bottom of the ship. So, correction. Ilay me'uch mesod ha'charitzi is not the dark greenish substance that's underneath the ship, but rather that's algae. That's what it is. Rapapa said that that's what it's not. What it is uch mesod ha'arva. Tana, a braisa added to the Mishnah. So in the Mishnah, we have some things that you're not allowed to use as wicks. We just went through all of them. Lechesh, choysin, cholach, psilas ha'idam, psilas ha'midbar, and yuroika shal pnei ha'mayim. The rest of the Mishnah is going to talk about the different things that can't be used as oils. They can't be used as fuels. So the Mishnah had its list. Tana, braisa added to the list. Yisifu aleim shal tzemer v'shal seir. Wool and hair. These are also things that you're not allowed to use. You can't make wick from them and use them to light your candles on Shabbos. But Tana Didon says, the Gemara, why did our Tana not mention these things? Tzemet, the Gemara says, it didn't mention wool because michvatz kovetz, because it anyways can't be used. It's so obvious. If you light wool, it's going to start curling. You're not going to be able to use it practically. So the Mishnah didn't feel it was necessary to mention it. The Mishnah's mentioning things you would have thought maybe you can use that practically can maybe be used. Kamash Malon, halachically, they can't be used. Seir, why didn't it mention here? Because a kruchi michrach, it's very easily burned. Again, these are things that practically you can't use anyways, so there was no reason for the Mishnah to mention them. Exhale. So as it relates to the last few dafin that we learned, so the topic really of daf yutches and a little bit daf yutches and a dada bit on daf chav was the machloikis between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, and that is shvisas kelim. Is shvisas kelim mutter? Or Shvisas Kelim Aser. The Gemara on Daf Yud Ches Amar Aleph brought a braisa. It says, "Ubechoyl Asher Amarti Aleichem Tishomeru LeRabbi Shvisas Kelim." And what came out in the Gemara is that Hamani Beis Shammai. That's all Beis Shammai Shita. Meaning, according to Beis Shammai, you're not allowed to do malacha. Your animals are not allowed to do malacha. Your slaves are not allowed to do malacha. Your kelim have to be shoyves. They're not allowed to do malacha either. According to Beis Hillel, there's no halacha of shvisas kelim. In fact, shvisas kelim is not asa midairaisa. Shvisas kelim is not asa midrabanan either. And again, it's important to note that we paskin that there is no iser shvisas kelim. If there was an iser shvisas kelim, we'd have to change our way of life in a very, very dramatic way. However, we pass like Pesilla, that there's no Issach Visas Kalim. However, there is a lot in the world of Raid and in the world of Lamdis and even in the Paiskim that relate to Shvisas Kalim, but that's all Loya Locha Lemaisa as it relates to the Shvisas Kalim component. But there are some important Yesoidis that we can learn from Shvisas Kalim that are Nogeya Halocha Lemaisa, and let's just speak out one Ha'ara. And just the introduction to the Ara is that it's hashtag super lumdis. But again, just in the spirit of putting together some of the Gemaras that we learned together during the last few days. So the Mishnah on Daf Yudzayin Amud Beis introduced us to the machloikis between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel as it relates to Shvisas Kalim. And Beis Shammai in the Mishnah says there's a whole bunch of things that you're not allowed to start doing the Erev Shabbos if it means that it's going to continue into Shabbos. You're not allowed to soak dyes and ink and karshinim, which is Michael Behema, Erev Shabbos, if it's going to continue to soak on Shabbos. The reason is soaking these things in water involved the malach of lush, and you're not allowed to start lush before Shabbos if it's going to continue into Shabbos. You're not allowed to take bundles of flax, put it into an oven, so that the heat of the oven will whiten the flax, if it means that it's going to continue into Shabbos. You're not allowed to put wool into a vat with dye, if it means that the wool is going to be dyed on Shabbos. Additionally, you're not allowed to set up traps to catch chayas, oifus, and dog in Erev Shabbos, if it means that some of these animals are going to be caught on Shabbos. And in all these cases, Beis Hillel said it's mutter. Then the Mishnah said, v'shavin elu ve'elu, b'sham and Beis Hillel both agree, sh'toyin imkiris beis habat v'igulei hagas, that in the event that someone's in the process of making wine, someone's in the process of making oil, so you took the wine press and you crush the grapes and the wine is starting to flow out of the grapes, you're allowed to leave the wine press running over Shabbos, even though some of the wine is going to come out. And despite the fact that what's going to come out is technically mefarik, which is a tolda of dash, which would seem to involve a malacha, still v'shavin, everybody agrees, meaning even Beis Shammai agrees that it's going to be okay. Tosfos, the Ran, and really all the Rishonim ask a very, very big kasha on that last line in the Mishnah. And that is, I don't understand. If Pshat and Beis Shammai is, because Beis Shammai holds that Shvisas Kalim is Aser, so why is it okay to take the Koira of the Beis Abbas and the Igulei Agas and let it go over Shabbos? At the end of the day, the Beis Abad is doing Malacha. At the end of the day, the Igulei Agas is doing Malacha. So if they're doing Malacha and Beis Shammai holds that there's something called Shvisas Kalim, so Lechura, why you let it go over Shabbos? Azay Fregen the Rishonim. Tosfos struggles very mightily to answer this kasha. The Ran, however, right here in the back of the Gemara says that I think you have to say a very obvious takeaway and an obvious yesoid based on Pashat, the reading of the Mishnah. That is, that the Gemara said that even were one to go and to remove wine after the original grapes were crushed before Shabbos, on Shabbos, even though what he's doing is wrong, he wouldn't be over Malacha Deiraisa. The Malacha Deiraisa would not be applicable anymore. And the Gemara said a Svara, the Gemara said either Homani Rabbi Shmali or Homani Rabbi Lazahi. And that is because being that this wine was going to leave the grapes b'memela anyways, it didn't require any human intervention at this point for all the juices and all the wine to flow out. So even though you expedited the process, it's not a malacha deiraisa. It's awesome at the Rabbanon, but it's not a malacha deiraisa. Says the Ran that it's pashit v'shteton, that Mishnah is, that even though Beis Shammai holds that Shvisas Kalim is aser, but Shvisas Kalim is only aser if the malacha that the keli is doing is a malacha deiraisa. If, however, the malacha that the keli is doing is a malacha derabanan, over there there's no halacha of Shvisas Kalim. And that's pshat of the Mishnah, says the Ran. The Reisha of the Mishnah was dealing with Isurei deiraisa. You're dealing with Lash, you're dealing with Tzeveya, you're dealing with Tzad, you're dealing with Malabe. All biblical malachas. Malachas that if a Yid would do b'mezid, it'd be chayiv skila and karas and b'shoig it'd be chayiv katas. So mean that we're dealing with malachas deiraisa, over there Beis Shammai has a shita that Shvisas Kalim is also, meaning your keli is not allowed to do a malacha deiraisa. The safe of the Mishnah v'shavin elu ve'elu shetoyan in kairis be'sabad v'igulei agas, that's all dealing with a malacha derabanan. A derabanan, the keli is not buzaran. The keli can't do deiraisas, but there's no halacha that the keli has to be so machmer that it can't even do derabanan. As long as up to Ran, says Rav Kiveiga right here in his chedusha Rav Kiveiga on the Gemara, that from the fact that Tosfos struggled to answer this kasha and he didn't say so pasha what the Ran said, Weizen Weistoy, says Reb Kiveger, that Tosfos argued with the Ran. And Weistoy, Tosfos held that according to Beis Shammai, that Shvisas Kalim is Aser, not only is it Aser for the Keli to do a Malacha Dei deraisa, but it's also asa for the keli to do a malacha derabbanan. That's what Reb Kiveger says. Says Reb Kiveger, if that's the case, we have here a very important in Beis Shammai's world, machloikis, between Tosfos and the Ran, as it relates to the scope of Shvisas Kalim. According to the Ran, Shvisas Kalim is limited, according to Beis Shammai, only to Yisurah Deiraisa. But for a Chil Shabbos Rabbanan, there's no halacha of Shvisas Kalim. According to Tosfos, however, it's true both for an Issa Deiraisa and it's true for an Issa Rabbanan as well. If that's the case, Ezra Kiveger, I have a bombekasha on a Magen Avraham. And this is halacha l'maisa. The Magen Avraham is in Hilchas Shabbos. It's in Simin Shinhei. It's Sif Katan Vav. The Magen Avraham is not discussing Shvisas Kalim. Because again, la halacha, there's no reason to talk about Shvisas Kalim. It's all a moot point. The Rambam in the third parak Hilchas Shabbos told us we don't pask in Shvisas Kalim. The Magen Avraham, however, was discussing the halacha of Shvisas Behema. Shvisas Behema means that a person's behema is not allowed to do malacha on Shabbos. That everybody agrees. That has nothing to do with Beis Shammai. So that's a din d'oraisa. There's something called Shvisas Behema. Says the Magen Avraham that even though a person's behema is not allowed to do malacha on Shabbos, for v'nirali, that's only a malacha d'oraisa. But a malacha d'rabbanan is allowed to. In other words, a person's behema is not allowed to carry something in a Rishus HaRabim in Shabbos. What about in a Carmelis? Says the Magen Avraham, my quote, V'nirali dafilu b'Carmelis shari. It's mutter for a person's behema to go out carrying a load in a Carmelis on Shabbos. Why? Because the Israelites on a Carmelis is only a derabbanon. Be that it's only a derabbanon, Shvisas behema was only said with regards to Dine de Raisa. It wasn't said with regards to Dine de Rabbanon. And the Magen Avraham says, V'nirali, it's pashit. He has no suffix. It's for sure the way it is. Freak Reb Kiveger, why was it so posh at that way to the Magen Avraham? L'chur, if you would ask me, I would say it's Tali in a Machlekes Rishonim. It's Tali in a Machlekes Duran and Tosfos. Meaning, Shvisas Behema L'didan is like Shvisas Kalim according to Beis Shammai. And Heyois in Beis Shammai, we have a Machlekes between Duran and Tosfos, whether Shvisas Kalim is Nogei Yisuri de Rabbanon or it's only Nogei Yisuri de Raisa. So Zoysoi Meres, it comes out then that it's not so poshit that there's a heter Shvisas Kalim just because the Issa is an Issa Rabbanon. In fact, Tosfos' Shita is that according to Beis Shammai, just like a Keli can't do a Malacha de Raisa, a Keli can't do a Malacha de Rabbanon either. If a Keli can't do a Malacha de Rabbanon according to Beis Shammai, then a Behemoth shouldn't be able to do a Malacha de Rabbanon according to Beis Hillel, according to everybody. So why did the Magen Avraham say for a Dava Pashit, for a Reb Kiveger, that animals allowed to carry a load in a Carmelis? Why? Because even though he's doing the Malacha, and there's a problem of Shvisas Behema, but it's only an Issa D'Rabbanan because it's in a Carmelis. Hatenach like the Ran, that Beis Shammai Shvisas Kalim is only true by the Reis, it's not true by the Rabbanans. Beautiful. But according to Tosfos, what should be the difference between Shvisas Behema according to Beis Hillel versus Shvisas Kalim according to Beis Shammai? That's Reb Kiveger's Kasha. Right here in the sugya. Hold that thought. That's the first kasha. The second kasha is a kasha that Rab Shloimeh HaKoyim Mivilna, the Cheshek Shloimeh, the Binyan Shloimeh, brings in his Shailos HaTshuvos Binyan Shloimeh. It's in Chelek Aleph Simen Tazayin. He brings the question b'shem Chacham Echad. He says Veda Sheshamati b'shem Chacham Echad Shehiksha. Who asked the Bamba kasha? There's a Mishnah in the Sechtes Avoy Dezara. The Mishnah says, "Ein moichrin, you're not allowed to sell a behema gasa to an oivet kechavim. You're not allowed to sell a horse to an oivet kechavim. Once upon a time, the oivet kechavim were all pagans. They were oivet avodah zarah. There was a halacha that you were not allowed to sell a behema gasa to an oivet kechavim. There's a whole amid gemara, classic daf gemara avodah zarah daf tezvav, where the gemara discusses why is it ein moichrin." Behema gasa lo oivet kechavim. And the Gemara comes out as follows. You know why you're not allowed to sell a behema gasa to an oivet kechavim? It's a gzera that you may lend or you may rent a behema gasa to an oivet kechavim, says the Gemara. Okay, what's the punchline? Why can't you rent a behema gasa to an oivet kechavim? Why can't you lend a behema gasa to an oivet kechavim? Says the Gemara, you know why? Because if you rent it to him and you lend it to him, it's still your animal. If it's your animal, it has to keep Shabbos. There's something called Shvisas Behema. The guy is not going to make sure that it keeps Shabbos. So being that the guy is not going to make sure that it keeps Shabbos, so what's going to end up happening is, it's going to end up doing malach on Shabbos. And you're going to be always with it. It's a Shvisas Behema when the guy has your behema and it ends up doing malach on Shabbos. So it's for that reason you're not allowed to rent, for that reason you're not allowed to sell. It's for that reason you're not allowed to lend. Says the Gemara, Gzeira Mishum Shelo Mishum Schiris, the Chachamim took it one step further, and they said, Ein Moichrin. It's Ein Moichrin Behem Magasel Oive Chachamim. Why? It's a Gzeira Mishum Shelo Mishum Schiris. Hagufa, why can't you lend it to him? Why can't you rent it to him? So the Gemara says, no, because you're afraid he's going to end up doing Malacha with it on Shabbos. And that's a problem. Now, if you sell it to the guy, and the guy does Malacha with it on Shabbos, nothing happened. Who cares? It's his. It's not yours. It's a gzera. It's a gzera. Don't sell it. Otu, you may lend it to him. Otu, you may rent it to him. And over there, you could find yourself in a real situation. So the Chacham Echad asked Reb Shloim HaKoyim Mivilna a bomba kasha. This is a real achreinish kasha. He said that, I don't understand. According to Beis Shammai, that Beis Shammai holds Shvisas Kelim as Aser, it should come out you're never allowed to sell a keli to a guy. That should be the halacha. Why? Because you should say, don't sell the keli to the guy. Gzera, you may lend it to him. Gzera, you may rent it to him. And if you lend it to him and rent it to him, meaning if it's shelin schiras, he's going to have it, he's going to do malacha with it. And if he's going to do malacha with it, it's going to come out that you are the shvisas kelim. So, may hai taima aliba de kuli alma da lachas e meichrim be magasa levi kechavim gzera mishum shelin mishum schiras. Because it could come me de shvisas behema, loy pe shamai, not pe silo, but loy pe shamai, you should have the same exact halacha with regards to kelim. And loy shamanu, veloy matzinu, veloy ra'inu. No one ever said such a chiddish. That according to Beis Shammai, you can't do business with an Ovi Kechavim. You can't sell him anything. You can't sell him a fair, it's a Mishnah. But that you can't sell him anything, a pot, that you can't sell him a keli because of Shvisas Kelim, that's the kasha that the Chacham asked Reb Shloim HaKoyim Mivilna. And Reb Shloim HaKoyim Mivilna said three terutzim to answer this kasha. But l'chur, there's a very posha to answer to this kasha. Very, very posha to answer to this kasha. And that's based, again, which is coming all together here, based on another Gemara that we just learned together. And that is the Gemara Daf Yutes Amar Aleph brought a Braisa. The Braisa said, Lo Yaskir Adam, Kalev Lenachri Be'erev Shabbos. A person's not allowed to rent his kalim to a guy Erev Shabbos. B'dalud Behei Mutter. If you want to do it on Wednesday, if you want to do it on Thursday, then it's going to be Mutter. Now, when we learned this Gemara together yesterday, we said that this Gemara has nothing to do with Beis Shammai Shita, who holds Shvisas Kelim as awesome. I mean, according to Beis Shammai, of course you're not allowed to rent a keli to a guy. Shvisas Kelim, he's going to use it on Shabbos. But this is true even according to Beis Hillel. And the reason is because of Schar Shabbos. And we were quoting Tosfos and really all the Rishayim, stating that the Rosh, right here on this Gemara, asks a bomba kasha. He says that it bothers him terribly that the Rif never brought this brisa. Lo yaskir adav kelev lenachri berav Shabbos uberaviyah bechamishim muter Rab Alfezal lo heviyah bilchaysov. He didn't bring it, and he says I don't understand why the Rif didn't bring the halacha. The Rif was the first of all the rishonim, the grace of poiskim, and he didn't bring the halacha. He omitted him a furish gemar. The Rif went through Perek Yitzias Shabbos. He brought every single halacha, every brice, every amoyer, everything that had to be brought. He left out one line. Somehow he skipped over this line. So Frank the Rosh, I don't understand. Boshim shat. So he says Shomati, I heard B'shem Yesh Mefarshim. I heard in the name of Yesh Mefarshim, who, by the way, even though the Rosh didn't quote him by name, but the Ramban and the Melchames brings it B'shem Deraivid. So he said, I heard from Deraivid that Deraivid said Upshat. Vaistois, the Rif must have learned the Gemara differently than the way we learned it. You see, when we learned the Gemara that you're not allowed to rent a Keli to an Ovi Kechamim before Shabbos, what did we say? This has nothing to do with B'Shamai, who holds Shvisas Kelim as Aser. This is even true according to Beis Hillel, and it's because of Schar Shabbos. The Rif must have learned not that way. The Rif must have understood that this Braisa was only according to B'Shamai. It's only because the old Shvisas Kelim is Aser. And being that it's related to Beis Shammai, that Shvisas Kelim is Aser. Being that it's related to Beis Shammai, that Shvisas Kelim is Aser. So it's for that reason, the Rif didn't bring it, because it's not Negei Lamaisa. It's only Negei if you hold Shvisas Kelim is Aser. We don't hold Shvisas Kelim is Aser. So sometimes the Rishonim bite a whole shtickle Torah based on something that the Rishonim didn't say. This is all from the Hashmat of the Rif. The Rif didn't bring this one line. And because it is derived he said that it must be that the Rif understood this Gemara, that this Gemara is going according to Beis Shammai, and that's why he didn't bring it. But if that's the case, Frank the Rosh, I don't understand. He says, then why did the Braisa say, Layaskar Adam Kalev Lenachri Be'erev Shabbos, but Wednesday and Thursday, it's okay. Why is it okay on Wednesday and Thursday? It should never be okay. It shouldn't be okay on Wednesday, on Thursday, on Friday, on Tuesday, on Monday. It should never be fine. Meaning, bishloim, if it's related to a schar Shabbos, it looks like you're doing something that you're not supposed to do on Shabbos. Erev Shabbos is when you have this halacha. But if it's related to the fact that the goy is going to do malacha with the yid's thing, and there's something called shvisas kelim, so why is it only a problem on Friday? Why is it mutter on Wednesday and Thursday? Says the Rosh, again quoting the Ravid, that you have to say that the Rif must have learnt. The Rif must have learnt that if a goy would take his keli and he would rent it, a yid would take his keli, and he would rent it to a guy on Shabbos, or he'd lend it to a guy on Shabbos, and the guy would do malach with the keli, even though shvisas kelim is also, here's the punchline, in this case it wouldn't be an issa deiraisa. Because the only time Beis Shammai holds shvisas kelim is an issa deiraisa is if the malacha that's being done with the keli is being done on behalf of the yid. But if the malacha is not being done on behalf of the yid, so the guy is doing it for himself, so then there's no issa deiraisa. Being that there's no issa deiraisa, so the chachamim said that on Friday you anyways can't do it, but on Wednesday and Thursday then you will be able to do it. Meaning, the reason layaskir Adam Kalev Lenachri Berev Shabbos, according to the Rif, was Dafka, according to Beis Shammai, he holds Shvisas Kalem as Aser. Stating that, it's not a Shvisas Kalem Deiraisa. Even though Beis Shammai really holds Shvisas Kalem as Aser Deiraisa, this is not Shvisas Kalem Deiraisa. Why not? The Kalem, it's your Kalem, it's doing Malacha. It's because it's not doing Malacha for you, it's doing Malacha for the guy. If it's not doing Malacha for you, it's not an Issa Deiraisa. Being that it's not an Issa Deiraisa, the Issa is exclusive to Erev Shabbos. You're not going to have the Issa on Wednesday, you're not going to have the Issa on Thursday as well. If that's the case, it comes out that we have a fundamental difference between Shvisas Kalem Beis Shammai and Shvisas Behema the Beis Hillel. And that is, Shvisas Behema the Beis Hillel, doesn't matter if the Behema is doing the Melacha for a year, if it's doing it for a guy. If it's Reuven's Behema and it does Melacha on Shabbos, it's a problem. Shvisas Kehla, we have this Chiddush of the Ravid, where the Ravid said it all in a riff. But we have a Chiddush that there's no reason anyone has to argue with. And that is, Shvisas Kehla is only an Issa Deiraisa like Beis Shammai if the Kehla is doing the Melacha for the year. If it's doing the Melacha for the guy, it's not a problem. If that's the case, I think it's Poshet, it's Miyushev, the Chacham Echad's question that he asked, Binyan Shleimah. Because Dafka by Shvisas Behema, where if you would rent the animal to a guy, or you would lend it to a guy, and he would do malacha with it, you would be over Nisa Dei Raisa. So Gzeira Mishum Shelo Mishum Schirus, which can lead to Shvisas Behema, which is a Nisa Dei Raisa. The Chachamim said, Lo Yimkar, don't even sell it. Don't sell it, it's a Gzeira, because you may rent it and lend it, and in that case, if the guy does malacha, he'll be over Nisa Dei Raisa. But over here, what do you want to say? What was the kasha? Don't sell a keli to a guy, because you may lend it to him, you may rent it to him. Let's say you rent it to him. What's going to be? What's the grace of Avla? He's going to do malacha? It's only going to be a malacha derabanan. It's only Shvisas Kelim derabanan. So to make the gzera for Shvisas Behema derayisa, yeah. But to make of it Shvisas Kelim derabanan, there's no reason to make it. I think it's a posh the teretz Reb Shlomo HaKoyim Vilna's kasha. But the question is, and this is really where we'll focus the last 10 minutes of the raid, is why is there a chilek? What's the difference? Why is it that Shvisas Behema, even if the guy does the malacha for himself, you're over Malacha Deiraisa. It's Shvisas Behema Deiraisa. Whereas by Shvisas Kelim, it's only if he does it for the Yid. But if he doesn't do it for the Yid, that's the Ravid Yisoid. That's how he explained the Rif. What's the difference between Shvisas Kelim and Shvisas Behema? So essentially, if you want to put it together, we have two kashas. We have Rab Kiveger's kasha on the Magen Avram, and we have this Ha'ara right here, where we're seeing differences between Shvisas Kelim and Shvisas Behema. Rab Kiveger asked on the Magen Avram, the Magen Avram says Shvisas Behema is mutter if the Behema is doing a Malacha Durabanan. Shvisas Kelim, however, Tosfos Shita is Aser, even if the Kelim is doing a Malacha Durabanan. What's the difference between Shvisas Kelim and Shvisas Behema? And this is the second Ha'ara. Why is it that if a guy would do a Malacha with a Yitz Kelim for himself, there's no Issa Deiraisa. Whereas if he used the Yid's Behem and he did Malacha, then there would be an Issa Deiraisa. So really what I'm about to say, I got from the Sefer Minchas Ariel. And he talks about it on Daf Yud Ches, and he talks about it on Daf Yud Tes, and he talks about it on Daf Kuf Nun Gimel. And really this is just the Tipa Shebiyam that came from the Minchas Ariel. And really the Minchas Ariel himself based this on a Yesoid from the Ar Sameach. The Ar Sameach, Remeir Simcha, in Hilchas Shabbos, in Perek Chav Hei, Halacha Chav Vav, clears a chakira in Shvisas Behema. So it says in the Torah that you have to rest on Shabbos, not only you have to rest on Shabbos, but your animal has to rest on Shabbos as well. And Remeir Simcha said, Yesh Lachkar, what's the yesoid of the Halacha Shvisas Behema? Is the pshat that just like Jews have to rest on Shabbos, Jewish animals have to rest on Shabbos as well. A Jewish animal
as defined by an animal that's owned by a Jew. Meaning there's a halacha that the animal has a chiyuv to rest on Shabbos. You have a chiyuv to rest on Shabbos. The behemoths also have a chiyuv to rest on Shabbos. Why do we rest on Shabbos? Zeich l'maisa bereshis. By us doing that, we're saying edus that vayuchulu ha-shamayim v'aretz v'chol tzavam. Not only are we supposed to say edus, but Masa Yadav Shal HaKadosh Baruch Hu says edus. The behemoths of the Yidden also say edus. But the point is, this is all the Haggadah's edus of the behemoths. The behemoths saying edus, and that's why the behemah has its own chiyuv to rest on Shabbos. Oh, yeah, Shloima says Rami Simcha, more pashat. Behemah doesn't have a chivas gavra to rest on Shabbos. It's not a chiyuv that's on the behemah. A yid has to rest on Shabbos. What's the definition of a yid resting on Shabbos? He has to make sure he rests. And all the important things, his important possessions, have to rest as well. His slaves have to rest. His animals have to rest as well. But it's not that there's a din shvisa on the behemoth. Rather, there's a din shvisa on the person who owns the behemoth. And included in his very broad definition of resting is that he has to rest and his animals has to rest as well. I think if you ask the man on the street, he would tell you for sure it's the second side. It says Rami Simcha, it's a mefurish Rashi like the first side. It's a Rashi in Chumash. It's a Rashi in Parshas Mishpatim. The makarta this Rashi is a mechilta. The pasuk says sheishes yomim tasem asech uvayim ashvi tishbois leman yonu. So what does Shabbos mean? You don't do any work on Shabbos. Not just that. Meaning not only do you have to rest, but your shor and your chamor have to rest as well. Additionally, the avodim as well. Says Rashi, what does it mean? Leman yonuach shorcha v'chamei recha. The shor and the chamor, not let it do malacha. This is the halacha of Shvisas Behema. So the shor and the chamor can't do haitzah. The shor and the chamor can't cook for you. They can't write for you. They can't do anything. They can't build for you. They can't be sois for you. They can't work in the field for you. They can't do anything. Says Rashi, if that's the case, I have a problem. Where do animals graze? Where do they spatzezach? Out in the field. What does an animal do when it's in the field? It eats. What does it eat? Grass. When the animal eats grass, it's ripping grass out of the ground. So if it's ripping grass out of the ground, says Rashi, how you let it leave your animals draying zich out in the field? L'chura, this is Shvisas Behema 101. It's going to go ahead, it's going to be koitzer, and when it's koitzer, it's going to come out that it's literally violating the most basic halacha of Shvisas Behema. Says Rashi, L'man yonuach shorcha v'chamei recha, tein loy nayach. Let the animal relax. Lahatir, it's coming to be matish toilesh va'oisev asavim in akarka, that it should be allowed to rip grass out of the ground. Maybe not. Maybe you should lock it up in the house, get it away from the grass. Amrit einze nayach elotzah. That's leman yonuach. What kind of leman yonuach is that? You have to let the animal rest. If the animal's not resting, if it doesn't have a shtick aloinik Shabbos, einze nayach elotzah. It's going to come out that the animal is bitzar. So leman yonuach shorcha v'chamirecha tein loy nayach, says Rashi, means you're allowed to leave it out in the, you're allowed to leave it out in the field. Says Rameir Simcha, you see there's a din tein loy nayach. Leman yonuach, you're not going to be mitzayer an animal, but rather you have to allow it to enjoy Shabbos. If the din of Shvisas Behema was a din on the owner of the animal, he just has to make sure he rests and he can't do malacha and his animals can't either do malacha, so then it would make sense. Lock it up somewhere. Make sure it doesn't do malacha. The animal doesn't have oinik Shabbos, ein zeh nayach elotzar, who cares? The Teretz says, Ezra Meir Simcha, this is all the Or Samech, that you see in Rashi, ein zeh nayach elotzar, that you have to let the animal itself feel leman yonuach. The reason Rav Meir Simcha says this is absolutely brilliant. He says it to answer a Vilna Goyin's kasha. There's a steer in the Rambam. If the Rambam holds Tzar Bali Chaim is Midei Raisa, or Tzar Bali Chaim is Midei Rabbanon. The Rambam in Hilchas Shabbos says Tzar Bali Chaim is Dei Raisa. The Rambam everywhere else says Tzar Bali Chaim is Dei Rabbanon. And the Vilna Goyin in Bira grew up like Tzarechian on the Rambam. Says Ramei Simcha, it's not a Tzarechian. I don't think it's a kasha. Says Ramei Simcha, in Kola Tayrukul, the Rambam held Tzar Bali Chaim is Midei Rabbanon. In Shabbos, Tzar Bali Chaim is Dei Raisa. Because on Shabbos, Leman Yonuach, Rashi, Ein Zen Nayach El Tzar. Brilliant, classic Arsameh. But either way, that's the punchline, what Rameh Simcha is trying to accomplish in that shtickle, to answer this Rambam. But the point is, says Rameh Simcha, so it comes out that there's a din that the animal itself gets to rest. So Rameh Simcha, that's poshut that this is only true by animals. This can't be true by Kalim, but there's a din that the Kali has a din to rest. Kalim have to rest, pots have to rest. They have to feel oinig Shabbos. That's a chuk of a tlula. An animal is a balchai. An animal has hergeshim. It can feel pain. It can feel rest. So as a result, the animal is choshuv enough that it's included in the mitzvah of Shabbos. A bakeli is zichah not included in the mitzvah of Shabbos. In other words, what comes out, there's a fundamental difference. There's a chiluk yisoidi between Shvisas Behema and between Shvisas Kalim. Shvisas Behema is a din in the Behema. The Behema has to rest. Just like you have to rest, the Behema has to rest. Jewish animals have a chiv to rest on Shabbos. Again, a Jewish animal is defined as an animal owned by a Jew. He has his own chiv Shvisa, as opposed to Kalim don't have a chiv Shvisa. Kalim rest, according to Beis Shammai, as a broad definition of what it means for a yid to rest on Shabbos. I have to rest, my kelim have to rest as well. Either way, that's where Meir Simchas Yisoid says, the Minchas Ariel. Based on that, I think we can answer a whole bunch of kashas. We just mentioned two of them. Kvega asked the kasha. He says, I don't understand. The Magen Avram said, Shvisas Behem and a Carmelis is not a problem. It's Pashat, or Behem is allowed to do a Malacha de Rabbanon. Frank Rab Kvega, why was it so Pashat to the Magen Avram? I have a Machloikis, Ran and Toisvis, here in the end of Perikitiyas HaShabbos, where according to Beis Shammai, who holds Shvisas Kalim, could a Kalim do a Malacha de Rabbanon or not? And Toisvis, I think it's Mavuri, could do, he's not allowed to do a Malacha de Rabbanon. So if Shvisas Kalim means even Isurid Rabbanon, why should Shvisas Behem not mean Isurid Rabbanon? The Teret says it's Cholot be a soy. Shvisas behemas, the behemas halacha. The behema has to rest. So what does it mean the behema has to rest? He can't do a malacha. What's a malacha? Deiraisa. Now it just so happens the rabbanu went ahead and they added on certain gzeiras and harchokas and takonas. But what does that have to do with the behema? They didn't care about the behema. They gave us the takonas. They didn't give it to the behemas. So therefore, says the Magen Avraham, if the behema is going to carry a load and a carmelis, I don't think it's going to be a problem. But that's all by Shvisas behema, where it has nothing to do with the owner of the behema. It's all it did in the behema. What about Shvisas Caleb according to Beisham? That's not a din in the keli, it's a din in the owner of the keli. I have a chiv to rest, meaning also my kelim have to rest. So what does it mean that my kelim have to rest? Whatever it means for me, that's what it means for my keli. So if I can't be in a carmelis, my keli can't be in a carmelis. If I can't do that, my keli can't do that. What difference should it make? By the behema, it's egen a shulchan aruch. A behema has a shulchan aruch. A behema, before he gets sold to a yid, has to learn hilcha Shabbos. He has to know what he's allowed to do and what he's not allowed to do. Right? He has his own hilcha Shabbos. His hilcha Shabbos doesn't include the rabbanans. But kalim don't have their own hilcha Shabbos. Kalim's hilcha Shabbos is just a sifkot in the owner of the kalim's hilcha Shabbos. So if the owner of the kalim's hilcha Shabbos includes the rabbanans, so maybe this would include the rabbanans as well. Maybe a mahalach to answer from Kvega's kasha. What was the second thing we mentioned? We mentioned that it's mavu and the rishonim. That there's a chiluk between Shvisas Kalim and Shvisas Behema. Shvisas Behema, if the guy would do work with the Yid's Behema on for himself, Taloch is he would be over Shvisas Behema de Raisa. Whereas by Shvisas Kalim, it's only if he did it for the Yid. If he didn't do it for the guy, then it's not going to be a problem. So we're mutching, what's this chiluk? Could be this is the chiluk. By a behema, the behema of the yid itself is mechuyev in Shabbos. So if the guy is doing melacha now with the yiddish behema, it doesn't matter if he's doing it for the guy. At the end of the day, there's a problem. There's a problem that the behemoth that's not allowed to do malacha is doing malacha. Now here he was doing it for his Yiddish owner, here he's doing it for his Goyish owner. At the end of the day, he's not allowed to be doing malacha. If he's not allowed to be doing malacha, it's a problem. But Shvisas Kalim was never a din in the Kaili, it was always a din in the owner of the Kaili. I have to make sure that my Kalim are not doing malacha. But it's all klape the yachas to the owner. So it could be if he's doing it for the owner, that's where it's going to be an issue. If he's not doing it for the owner, could be over there, it won't be for the issue. It won't be an isser exiled some sveitin law.